time to take control of your happiness. This is Being Young at Any Age on EZ 1430. Now, here's your host, George Bentley.
Hello, hello, hello. This is George Bentley, your host of Being Young at Any Age, where we help you create your own self-directed guide and roadmap to optimal happiness, health, well-being, and vitality, no matter what your current challenges might be. The way we describe it is, I'm hoping that you can figure out how to thrive now, meaning today, in the moment. Things that you can do to improve the quality of your life and your potential for longevity. And we talk about these things in terms of how to die young at an old age, meaning we focus on information that helps us maintain our youthfulness versus just counting the number of times we ride this rock around the sun, right? And if you know, if you've listened to me before, I like to categorize these fairly broad areas of knowledge and information that we should be thinking about and spending time learning about into four major buckets, I call them. And I call those eat right, exercise, avoid injury, and reduce stress. And today, we're going to talk about avoiding injury, and we're going to talk about reducing stress and things that we can do to help us maintain the quality of our life as we age. Again, my challenge to you, I say I'm just a curious George, and the only reason I know what I know is I've learned to ask questions. You know, somebody tells me something, maybe I believe them, maybe I don't, and I'll tell you right now, you may agree with what I say to you on this program, or one of our guests says on this program, or you may disagree, and either answer is just fine, as long as you're willing to go to the next step and be able to explain why you agree or disagree with what I'm saying. I was talking about a pharmacogenetic test with a producer here a few minutes ago, and this is one of those new cutting-edge technologies that I think is a very powerful tool to help us as we go through life interacting with pharmaceuticals. This test will help you and your doctor to understand how your body individually, subjectively, your DNA, how you interact with these different medications. And that is a very powerful tool, right? And Kyle's going, hey, you know, I'm going to look into this. And I said, well, but you still need to go to the next step, right? I did, didn't I? And that is, you need to find out why. If you think this sounds good, Google it. You know, look into it. Do your own research and think for yourself. I only half jokingly say, imagine what our American political system and government would be like if all the voters did that before we casted our vote. First of all, that we actually vote. And secondly, that we cast educated votes and we understand why we're voting for a particular individual or why not, right? I mean, that's really what it's all about. So be curious, Georges. Ask questions and find out for yourself. In the avoid injury category, there's some pretty compelling statistics out there. And as you may or may not know, this all happened for me 15 years ago, now almost 16 years ago, when my mother fell in the bathtub and broke her hip. And this injury put her on a downward spiral that caused her to end up dying in a nursing home almost exactly a year to the day. And my mom was very healthy when she fell. Her dying in the nursing home a year later was not because of the broken hip. It was because of everything that happened to her in the course of that year. She went into the emergency room. The first thing they did was give her one of these pain meds, back to the pharmacogenetic test. We had no idea, but my mom was a rapid metabolizer of this chemical, and she overdosed. She had an adverse drug reaction, and it caused her to have a stroke. My mom lost 60% of her cognitive ability overnight. That was a whole new ballgame. Before, it was just helping her recuperate from a broken hip. Now, we're in a totally different situation with my mom. And it was kind of a domino effect. And I'm telling you right now, I'm challenging you. If you're hearing my voice, you know what I'm talking about. You know somebody that this same thing has happened to. You have a loved one or a neighbor or a friend that they've injured themselves. Something has happened, and the family and that individual ends up losing control over their life because of that devastating injury. And it doesn't have to necessarily be a devastating injury. Again, it's the ripple effect. So avoiding injury is a major, major challenge to us. And it's one of those things that we just don't tend to think about, right? And I tell people the two biggest killers of baby boomers and the parents of baby boomers are denial and ignorance. So if I'm in denial, I'm okay, I'm fine. By the way, if you've listened to the program before, you know I've said my 99-year-old dad still drives, and that's always been a challenge for us. Well, we had an incident, he did, and it scared him, and it got his attention. He got lost, and he couldn't figure out where he was. And so within the last month, my dad at 99 has now given up the keys, and he's in his home, and he spends more time in his home, of course, and that makes making our homes and the environment of our homes safe and accommodating to us all the more important, especially as we age. So anything that I can do to help make my environment safer is an important thing to do. And over these 15 years, I've interviewed thousands of seniors and baby boomers, their adult children, and their caregivers. And I can tell you, without exception, when I ask somebody, you know, do you want to stay in your home? They are all going to say, absolutely. I want to stay independent. I want to live in my home for as long as I possibly can. And I tell you right now, whether you live in that home until you actually pass or not is a function, should be a function of personal choice. Should be a function of personal choice. Getting back to my father, my mom passed in 2004. That's when we started this mission to help make him healthier and more vibrant and to help him age and stay active. And we started making home modifications. One of the things I did, that's where Bentley Baths came from. I put a walk-in therapy tub in for my father in his home because my mom fell in a bathtub, right, and hurt herself. And I knew that that environment was very dangerous for her. But as my father began to do therapies and improve his quality of life, we got 2 or 3 years into this, and he's feeling better. He's active. He's vital. You know, he wants to interact with people. And one day he says to me, I'm bored. I'm bored. I don't have enough people around me. So up to that point, it was I'm staying in the family home. I'm not going anywhere. I jokingly say the way my dad, well, jokingly, he said this. You know, he told me when we started down this path, he says, George, I want to live and die in this home, in my own bed. When my soul leaves this earth, I want my body going through the front door, right? And I'm like, I get it, Dad. I get it. But then something changed. And what changed for him was he felt better, like I said. He wanted to be more socially engaged. So then we looked for an active senior community that fit his style. He had actually had some friends there. He's still at 99. He still lives independently. But he's got people around him. You know, I went to visit him over the weekend, and I walked into his apartment, and he wasn't there. He was down playing bingo. He was socializing. So what is my point? My point is that it's up to us. We need to be in control of how we age and how we live our lives. And honoring the fact that most people do not want to be forced out of their home because of an avoidable injury, that's why we focus on this area. There's knowledge out there. You can be in denial and say, well, my home's not unsafe, or I don't have issues, or I'm physically sound, or you know, whatever it is. Or like my dad, I'm okay driving when he really wasn't. Denial is a big killer of us, and I'm just suggesting acknowledge the fact that these are real issues. The other challenge and big killer is ignorance, okay? It's just, my mom used to say, it's impossible to know what you don't know, right? And that's true. And that's why, you know, you'll hear me say over and over and over again, ask why, ask why not, be inquisitive, get the information for yourself. Because ignorance is what killed my mom, really, because I didn't know she was in danger. You know, I didn't know how traumatic it could be for her to have an issue in the bathtub and actually end up falling and hurting herself. We just didn't realize. So get the information and the knowledge. When it comes to injuries and avoidable injuries, it's epidemic. You know, my statistics are old. I wrote a book called Killer Bathrooms. Just go to the website, give us your information there, and just mention Killer Bathrooms. I'll be happy to get you a copy of the book for free, but I need to get your information. Just go to beingyoungatanyage.com, spell it straight out, beingyoungatanyage.com, and I'll be happy to get you a copy of that book. But who could write a book about bathrooms, right? You know, me, because I went through it with my mom, and she did injure herself. We have over 2 million people. And this, again, this is old statistics. I need to refresh this. I'm sure it's a lot more. Oh, well, think about this. We have 10,000 baby boomers turning 65 every day. You know, you've heard that number, right? As of about 10 years ago, we had over 2 million seniors falling and injuring themselves in their bathrooms and in their homes. Now, think about this. 2 million, right? What's an epidemic? An epidemic is the widespread occurrence of anything, right? This is an epidemic. This is truly an epidemic. And I want to slice this back one layer to get you to think why I think this is so significant, right? Over 2 million people falling and injuring themselves, primarily in their bathroom, and we're only counting people that are hospitalized. It only counts if they don't injure themselves, they don't need medical care, it's never reported. We don't even know about it. How many of you have fallen? I fell 3 weeks ago and broke my tailbone. And I'm telling you right now, I'm in pain. Don't ever do that. if you could, that is an injury you definitely want to avoid. But it happened because of me. I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing. And I was off balance. And I ended up falling and hurting myself. The home is our castle. Right. And if we have over 2 million people seeking medical care because of fall related injuries in our home, said to me, there's room for improvement. Right. We can get some knowledge and information here to help people make their homes safer and more accommodating as we age. Are you with me on this? It just makes common sense. Where do you spend most of your time? It's in your home. As you age, you really begin to spend more time in your home. So it becomes vitally important that we take a look at these things. You know, over 20,000 seniors dying from avoidable fall-related injuries every year. My mom was one of those, right? She died because she fell and hurt herself. And then the ripple effect, all these other consequences, was like a domino effect. Everything fell in. Bottom line, she ended up dying in a nursing home almost exactly a year to the day. Do you know how many people over the age of 65 die in automobile accidents today? It's less than that. It's less than that. Why? Because we acknowledged as a society 40, 50, 60 years ago that automobiles were inherently dangerous. Right? Automobiles are inherently dangerous. So we started looking, okay, where do we find technology that can make automobiles safer? Do any of you remember when they first came out with seatbelts in cars? I do. And I can tell you right now, there was a big backlash. You know, my dad, I'm not wearing one of those. I've driven a vehicle my entire life. My mom was like, it wrinkles my dress. I don't like it, right? We didn't want to use them. We were in denial, and we were ignorant about it. And so guess what? The manufacturers kept engineering and improving it. Then we got shoulder belts. Then we got airbags. You know, we've developed crush zones and designed cars to be safer. We have side impact airbags now. I mean, we've done these things with technology to acknowledge the fact that cars are dangerous. And we get hurt and injured. And when we get hurt and injured, the consequences and the cost to society are unacceptable. They're unacceptable. So society steps in. Well, guess what? What happened with cars? What happened with seatbelts? Nobody wanted to wear them. Well, not nobody, but not enough. So what happened? What happened? The government stepped in. The government passed laws. You must wear a seatbelt if you're in a car. Are you following me on this? The government stepped in and regulated because we were in denial or we were ignorant and we weren't making the move to adopt this technology. So we had to be forced into it by law, by regulation, right? When was the last time you drove in a car or rode in a car? Either one. I'm going to almost guarantee you, you wore a seatbelt. And I'm going to almost guarantee you that car is equipped with an airbag. And these safety technologies, right? But it didn't come easy, and it took us years to get there. What is my point with all this? Why am I rattling on talking to you about automobiles? Do you want the government in your bathroom? do you want the government to be looking at your home and saying, oh my gosh, you know, we've got to do something here. We've got to regulate safety because it is an epidemic. And it impacts our healthcare system and society and welfare and support programs and Medicaid and Medicare. And you just go down the list. The ripple effect is huge. And I'm telling you now, we need to step up and be proactive. We need to do things to make ourselves and our homes safe. Do not wait until it's so bad that we have to be regulated into it. Now, I'm being a little bit extreme about that, but to be honest with you, Not a whole lot, because we're already, for example, in the plumbing side, you know, we have regulations now that have been added that anti-scald thermostatic mixing valves. Some municipalities are now regulating under the codes that you have to install thermostatic mixing valves in your bathtub if you're building a new home, because it's a known safety feature. So let's start thinking about it, all right? So my home is my castle. Have you heard that? My home is my castle. We really do take pride in home ownership in the United States. And it's our environment. It's my home, right? I get to keep it clean or messy or whatever. It's mine. I can do whatever I want in it. But I don't want to be hurting myself. So let's stop and think for a second. You know, in the Middle Ages, you know, we had castles, and they were called the castle keep. And when the outside world threatened the kingdom or the community, what did we do? We all ran into the castle keep. There was a moat around it, and we pulled the bridge up, right? And that's how we stayed safe. And that's why we often refer to our home as our castle. It's our place. It's our space, and we expect to be safe there. Well, what I found out over the years, for example, in 2008, when we had the economic crisis that we did, and these things are going to come and go, folks. You know, we're going to have more recessions and depressions and downsides and upsides and whatever it is. It's just a fact of life, and we need to be preparing ourselves. And what I saw in 2008, and in particular with seniors, people became paralyzed. They knew that they were unsafe in their home. They knew they needed to do something, but they're looking at their 401k or their stocks or whatever it is, and they're going, oh my God, we can't afford to do anything. And they wouldn't. They froze. And I'm telling you, that is counterintuitive. It's just the opposite. If we are financially insecure, the worst thing that can happen to us is an avoidable injury or hospitalization or illness. If you're in a home and you own your home, your biggest threat to losing your home is probably going to be medical bills, healthcare bills, things like that that you can't afford to pay. And most Americans who own their own home have a lot of equity in their home, especially as they get older. And I'm telling you, being a lawyer, I can say, you know, you got a big bullseye on your back. If you end up owing a hospital a lot of money or something like that, they're going to figure out where they can get their money. And just don't subject yourself to that by what? Being proactive, making your home safe. So if you're financially vulnerable and you don't think you can afford to make the modifications you need to do to make your home safe, you really can't afford an avoidable illness or injury and the medical expenses and the consequences of that. Does that make sense to you? So what I'm really saying is you do want to pull back into your home, just like the old castle keep. You want to stop and look and say, if I never leave this, if I stay here for the rest of my life, if that's my goal, what do I need to be doing to make it safer for me to accommodate, right? So the first thing is I have to be able to get in and out of my home. So just, you know, take a quick look. Let me back up a second. If your home is older than 10 years old, maybe 15 in some communities, it just depends. Your house was engineered and designed for you to die at age 65. Okay, think about it, right? It's just like Social Security. Our life expectancy is expanding way beyond the architectural design and engineering of most existing homes, built homes, they're called, that are out there that we live in. So bathroom doors may be 24 inches wide. There's stairs and steps everywhere. I was in a home the other day that, my God, you couldn't go from one room to another without there being a step or two. And as a 20-year-old, I looked at that architectural design and I would go, wow, that's really cool. I love all these multiple levels, and it's so, man, it's just real. I like it. The person who lived there was 75 years old and on a walker. And now they couldn't go from one room to the other. It became like a prison to them. So let's stop and think about, you know, how was my home designed for me to enter and exit it? If I'm mobile now and getting around, fine. I don't necessarily have to do something like put a ramp in or a lift. I mean, there's a lot of things we can do. So for egress, we can redesign the porches and the sidewalks. We can design and install maybe ramps. There's a lot of different things we can do. Technical answers, we can do things called VPLs, vertical platform lift, which is basically a personal elevator to help if you've got, you know, six steps at your front stoop. It may make a lot more sense to invest in some technology like that, again, to keep your home accessible to you. So one of the first things you just want to look at, not that you necessarily need to do anything now. Again, if you're navigating and getting into and out of your home comfortably now, then don't spend money fixing something that ain't broke. You know, just be very aware before you navigate those steps. And by the way, I told you I fell and broke my tailbone 3 weeks ago, slipped on a step, fell, 1 point landing on my rear end, and guess what? You know, now I'm hurt. And boy, do I pay attention when I'm walking down steps now, right? We don't always get to back up and learn from these mistakes. My dad made a misstep about, I guess it's almost a year ago now. But he was 98 years old, fell flat on his face, 1 point landing on his, he wasn't paying attention, and he fell, and the first thing to meet the floor was his face. And it didn't kill him. He got a black eye, but I'm telling you, at 98 years old, an incident like that very easily could have brought about the end of his life. Very easily. So we dodged a bullet there. But what happened? My dad was able to learn from that, right? And back up and go, hey, wait a minute. I need to pay attention where I'm planting my feet. And, you know, I need to look. And by the way, you know, he tripped up on an area rug in the house. You want to be looking at these things. And then we've got a few more minutes, and I'm going to go through these for you real quickly. But what I'm telling you is come to the website, beingyoungatanyage.com. Give me your information there, and I will provide you free information on all of this, these different areas of the home and things that you can do. I'll even offer you a free 30 to 60 minute consultation if you'll go, beingyoungatanyage.com, and I'll help you create what we call a life plan, where we walk through and look at what's going on in your home and the things you may need to be paying attention to as time goes on. So ingress and egress, yeah. You know, at some point you need to pay attention to that. You may have two steps going into the garage, and if you're in a wheelchair, guess what? You ain't going to make those two steps. We need to figure something out. Where's the main area in the bathroom that is the most dangerous? Without a question, you know, don't you? It's the bathroom. The bathroom is the most dangerous 10 square feet on earth for anybody over the age of 55 and under the age of 7. Okay, think about it. We don't send toddlers into the bathroom by themselves, do we? And we certainly don't put them into bathtubs and things like that and go off and leave them. Well, as we age, we become less stable. And that bathroom is wet, hard surfaces, unforgiving. It's a very close environment. So the first thing we really need to do is make the bathing. You've got to bathe yourself. You've got to go into this room multiple times every day. You may or may not have to go into the kitchen. You sure as heck don't have to go into the basement. You may or may not need to go in your bedroom if you sleep in the living room, whatever. But you are going to go into that bathroom. So look at that bathroom. If you've got a traditional bathtub or shower, you're going to need to do something. And again, here you do need to be proactive, because if you wait until something happens, you may not, like my mom, be able to recover from it. So if you have a traditional bathtub or shower, then you need to look at something like a safe bathing appliance. And there, that's what Bentley Baths does exclusively. We know everything there is to know, quite frankly, about walk-in bathtubs, therapy tubs, transition tubs. But put therapy in your bathroom and make it an oasis of health and wellness, not a war zone for you. Get rid of area rugs that you can trip over. Look at the lighting. Make sure you have enough bright lighting. In your bathing area, whether it's a shower or a bathtub, make sure that you have shelves and places that are comfortable to locate your toiletries and your accessories. Get rid of towel bars. Towel bars should be outlawed. Replace it with a grab bar, something that's designed to support your body if you do become unstable in there. You know, think about your faucets and your sinks. Can you operate them? Do you have an ADA compliant valve on your shower and in your sink area? Okay, so really look at the bathroom. Grab bars instead of towel bars, walk-in tub instead of a shower or a lay-down tub, ADA-compliant valves, good lighting, get rid of trip hazards like floor mats, and look at widening your door. If you're not on a walker right now and it's not an issue, that's something you can wait for. But be prepared and know if you got a 24-inch door, you're probably going to need to widen that at some point. Where do we go from there in the home? Now we go to the stairs. Right? The stairs are the second most dangerous area in the home. If your home was built years ago and you're at two stories, three stories, whatever it is, or like the gentleman I was mentioning earlier, your architectural design puts these steps in various places in your home, you need to figure out how to deal with that. And right now, you may be at risk walking up and down a flight of stairs. You say you can do it, but be very careful about it. What is the quick fix on stairs? Of course, we have technology. We have stair glides. We have lifts that will lift wheelchairs up and down stairs. There are technological solutions that we can look to. But here's the one thing I would say every single one of us needs to do. Put bilateral handrails in. If you have stairs going down to the basement, stairs going upstairs to bedroom, put handrails on both sides. You are 100 times safer being able to support yourself bilaterally, like as if you were skiing, you had something to support both sides of your body, than if you're doing it on one side, okay? So do that for me. Then we look at kitchens. We can do things to design to get things down. I'll tell you another little story about 3 years ago, is longer than that, 7 years ago, losing track of time. Before my dad moved out of the family home, he fell in the kitchen. You know, he didn't hurt himself. I find out about it because his doctor called me and told me that he didn't break any ribs. And I'm like, what? Of course, my dad didn't say anything to me. Denial. And ignorance, right? And pride. And pride is part of denial. But my dad was trying to reach a pan on the top shelf in the cabinet, and he was standing on a step stool, and he fell off the step stool, and he landed on an open drawer. And when I told my dad, "Dad, this can't happen anymore," he got angry and defensive. "I'm not going into a nursing home." And I'm like, "Dad, because this is unsafe doesn't mean you have to leave your home." It doesn't mean that. What it means is we need to make the kitchen safer. Let's lower the pots and pans down so you don't have to get on a ladder to get them. You follow me? We look at this environment and we take baby steps to make it safer. And then ultimately, if somebody ends up in a wheelchair or whatever, I mentioned on a show a few weeks back, Frank Lloyd Wright designed a home in 1952 that is, it's amazing architecture, but it's totally accessible. And if you're remodeling your kitchen or your bathroom or anything, like, don't spend a penny without having us evaluate for accessibility. Because I don't care if you're 18 years old or 118, your home should be designed to be accessible. That bathroom remodel, that kitchen remodel, you should be thinking about these concepts, because that is what's going to give you your greatest return on investment. The fact that anybody who's looking at that project later is going to be able to go, "Oh, it doesn't matter whether I'm in a wheelchair, on a walker, a cane, you know, whatever it is. I've low vision. I've got MS. Whatever it is, there has been thought put into designing this environment to make it functional for me." Are you with me on that? So any home remodel you're doing, in particular bathrooms and kitchens, call us. 303-388-8887. Call us. We'll help you. Go to the website, beingyoungatanyage.com, or you can go to bentleybaths.com. We'll be happy to help you. So, brief overview, drink out of a fire hose. I got it. I apologize for that, but I wanted to get this out there so you can start thinking about it. Please, please, please be proactive and call, or give us your information. Again, this is George Bentley, your host of Being Young at Any Age, where we help you create your self-directed guide to optimal happiness, health, wellness, and vitality, no matter what your current challenge is. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Being Young at Any Age with George Bentley. Tune in next weekend to learn how to create a roadmap to achieve happiness, health, and wellness today on EZ 1430.